And then they approved MGM betting in certain places, certain parts of like Maryland and DC. So I use an MGM app. It's legit.
I was using the Bet Online. I use the Bet Online one. That's the one. That's the one I'm using now. Cause the other one I was using, the sports bookie, they sent me an email talking about they had to send me my money back because it was funding the terrorists. And I was like, oh yeah, hell yeah, send that shit back.
It was what?
It was funding the terrorist groups. So I was like,
which one of these white boys have been paying? All the terrorists I know white.
Everyone,
Buffalo guy, white dude, man. Condolences to those people too, man. That was a sad situation, bro. That shit was crazy.
That Buffalo one, yeah.
Boy drove 200 miles to go slaughter them people, man. You know, I tell anybody hit, bro. I tell my nephews, I tell all the homies, man, keep that thing on you, man. I don't even like guns, but you want to give yourself a fighting chance, he gunned down a bunch of old people in the middle of the day.
Yeah. And the crazy thing is, they know exactly where to go. You know
yeah.
Even if they do go to urban areas, they know where to go. They're not going to where the crime is.
Right, yeah. They ain't going to the locks. Niggas ain't going to Pork and Bean.
You know what I'm saying? Nobody over there carrying no guns in the grocery store like that.
Right.
Old people. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to go to the hood where we know niggas got guns too.
Somebody pulling out too.
Yeah, you know
boys ain't on old block. They ain't doing none of that crazy shit. I keep mine on me now. Especially since like Georgia switched it up. We don't have to have concealed carry, which I just was being lazy about getting mine. I kept saying, man, I need to get my concealed. I ain't never got it. But then shit, governor lift that bit. So you don't even want to know it. I said, shit, that means everybody got it on them, goddamn it. So that means
everybody.
When I go in the grocery store, got it on. When I'm in the
movie, it's crazy because when you go to
got Texas, it on.
When you go to Texas, it's like that. Like niggas, they like in Texas, man. They literally walk around and it's out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know how they be like, okay, well we got it covered up. No, they be having this out.
Mm-hmm. Like, and you see that a lot down here too. You see a lot in Georgia. Probably more prevalent in Texas. I can imagine. But yeah, you'll see a lot of people with it on their hip. See, my thing about having it on your hip. This is what always killed me. I'm like, well, if I plan on coming in here and I got my mind on, all right, I'm finna lay something down, I'm about to pull a lick. I see somebody with a gun, I'm still finna pull his lick. I'm finna pop you first because I tell you a hero. So that's why I never understood having mine out. Like, nah, I don't want him to know I got it on me. I'd rather get the drop and have a surprise on you, dog. I don't want to be, if he see me with this gun on me and he got crime on his mind, he got something he got to get done today, I'm the first one he gonna take down.
Yeah, because he like, oh well, he got a gun, so he gonna be the first one to try to stop something.
To try to play hero, like, all right, shit, I got something for that. Bah, knock him off. Okay, now I deal with the rest of the citizens in here. You know, but so I always rather have mine on top.
Yeah, trust me, always, man. I think the crazy thing with me is when I do get at that point where I feel real unsafe, even if I just walking out my house, I ain't gonna lie, I tend to just put all the guns in the car and be like, man, this is right, because
you never know.
I don't be knowing what finna go on, you know what I'm saying? And it'd be moments where you just be like, man, look, I'm finna go to my homeboy crib, but let me just put these in the car.
Just have it. I mean, you know because what's a safe place? I don't know what a safe place is. Ain't no safe place, man.
Ain't
no safe place,
man.
Can't go to church, can't go to the grocery store, you can't go to the movie theater. Especially don't do this shit while you black. Oh man, you really in trouble now. So
and that's not there go the problem right there. We worrying about them, and then we gotta worry about us too, and we gotta worry about the
police. Right.
We gotta worry about everybody. So it's like what can we really do to just be safe?
Hey, y'all think we'll ever have to start worrying about like us? Like
nah.
One day.
Oh, about
hell no. No.
No, because
I don't want to say less.
No,
I'm gonna tell you why.
As long as people could see money,
that's what I was just about to say.
It's
really less about black on black as much as it is poverty. Whenever you're dealing with poverty, you're gonna deal with crime. And black people has just happened to be put in a position in this country to be impoverished more than everybody else in this country. And I know people go, oh, the immigrants come, blah, blah. They don't have the same stigma. They don't have the same history that we have in this country. So
I agree.
The only way to do it, I think it'll get less and less because I think our financial literacy is growing. And I think you're seeing, but I don't think it'll ever just go away because we kind of always got to have the haves and the have-nots. That's the way the system's set up.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be truthful. I don't think it's going to be less. The reason why is because of the money, the fact that you got somebody, just look at the last previous year, the way people was able to benefit off of PPP loans, unemployment. So just look at the fact that they got a taste of that certain lifestyle.
Right.
When they can't continue their lifestyle, they go to drastic measures. Like, hey,
but that was a crime right there. And that crime was the I told everybody, bro. The only reason they did that because they finna let people out for weed, but somebody gotta take their spot. So all you PPP loan scammers, y'all going in there. They swapping y'all out. They swapping that workout. You think you got some money with that 250 grand, 400 grand, a mil, whatever you got. Man, them people gonna make so much money off you. That's why they let you get it. Yeah, like, here, give it to him. Yeah, give him the 250. We know he ain't got no legitimate business. And we're going to swap him on in here. We're going to get him for at least 7-10 years. We're going to quadruple our money easily. And that's if he get out in that good time, if he don't violate and get no problems inside. So it's all a game, man. Ain't none of this shit a mistake. Ain't none of this shit a mistake. Y'all ever watch, what's it called? I think it's called The 13th.
Talking about the Netflix. The 13th Amendment.
I think so. I never watched it. I heard it's really good, but it's good. I know, but I'm like, bro, I'm just a thinker. So you showing me, they like, but it break down how it is that. I'm like,
it's basically everything we know already. It's just the way they broke it down and be like, damn.
Yeah, I guess
like kind of just in writing.
If you read the Constitution, so you will understand it already. The way that they broke it down, they basically showing how the government basically conducted itself towards minorities.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like I said.
I mean, that's something that we already know.
Mm-hmm.
But they show us, it's like, he go to prison system. This is what we're going to do to you.
Right. I think that's the reason I never watched it is because I know. I tell people. Well, tell your granddaddy to watch this. Tell your uncle to watch this. And I'm talking to the counterparts. I already know. You know what I'm saying? Ain't no education really in that movie for me. That's why I never watched it. And I'm telling you, I know just from thinking, not from research. I know it ain't no mistake that we hunted down, that we are made to be these animals. It don't take a genius to figure it out. Hey, man, somebody wrote this story.
Yeah.
Somebody did this shit. There ain't no reason. Oh, we just lazy. How the hell are we just gonna be lazy and we work for free?
Yeah, when did we become lazy? When? Because we did all
why y'all this. Can't just go, get up by your bootstraps? Why we gotta do it? Y'all ain't had to do it.
We've been doing all this forever and we lazy because we say we want extra money.
I tell you this. I always break this down like this, like the simplest way. One of the easiest ways to transform money and wealth is home, right? To have property. Well, our ancestors were literally not allowed to buy property. So you can leave your family a home and maybe this home is appreciated. So they done made money on the house. So, they take it over. Maybe they get that money off that house and then they buy something else, another house. Well, that's a great advantage. People wasn't given that advantage. My people was not given that shot. So, of course, you ahead in the Monopoly game, bro. Y'all been going around the board a couple of times. Come on. I'm stuck in jail. I ain't even did nothing.
Yeah, we stuck at do not pass go.
You pass go, they take my 200. Nah, that's mine, huh? Wait a minute, dog, pass go. Yeah, so, I'd be like, nah, show it to somebody who need to see that shit, man. I don't need to see that shit. I already know.
The one thing I would say, it did, for a lot of people who didn't understand it, you know what I'm saying? Like, you was already like, I already know what this is about.
Yeah.
Know what I'm saying?
No, I think it can be educational. I'm going to watch it one day.
A lot of people really didn't know. Like, a lot of black people didn't know.
They don't know either, right?
I was sad because I was like, well, how the hell y'all don't know? Like, this.
Just look around.
It's written in the Constitution. It's written in the Constitution. They tell you like how they're going to treat us, but you're not really paying attention. You're just saying, okay, well, they passed civil rights law, okay, but they still got the same law from when, you know, black people was 2/3 of a human being. They still got that same law created too. They throw it away. Right.
It's still there. You talking about civil rights? Okay, cool. That's dope that happened. But why did it have to happen? Hey, and when did it happen? That happened in my mom's lifetime. That's one generation back. One.
A long time ago.
That's not a long time ago, dog. My mom was a part of desegregation. She went to an all-black school, then they split it. She remembers fountains. Now, she was a little thug, so she drank out the wrong fountains anyways. You know, she got in a fight with a white chick the first day of school when they integrated. That's just how she coming with it. But, yeah, this ain't no ancient history. My mama can tell me stories.
First time I peeped, it wasn't that long ago. I remember I was a jit. I forget how old I was. I was talking to my dad about something. He said he seen black and white water fountains. And I was looking at him, and I was like, damn, I was like, so that shit wasn't no 100 years ago. They're like, I was like a kid and they ain't know nothing. I'm like, damn.
They were like 30 years ago.
Right. That's when as a kid, I was like, damn, that shit wasn't a long time ago at all.
And let me tell you one reason you thought that too, man. They purposely put them pictures in black and white to make you think it was older.
Right.
The pictures was in color. I heard
about that, yeah.
They did that. Everything is manipulative. Mm-hmm. They knew that shit. So if it looked black and white, you think, oh, this is a long, long time ago.
Long ass time ago.
Motherfucker had color pictures back then.
Yeah.
It wasn't that far back. But yeah, that's crazy, man. That's a good little shop talk, man. Let's get into the doctor a little bit.
What is this?
It's 26 degrees.
Welcome back to 26 Degrees, the only Miami Hurricanes podcast brought to you directly from the barbershop. Everybody else got their own groove, their own thing. Respect, salute to all those out there. And I listen to quite a few of y'all because I'm down like that. I want to get the info, but this our little shop, man. And we appreciate y'all pulling up, man. Tell a friend to tell a friend. Here with my cohorts. As usual, my guy Meezy's here. What's up, Meezy?
What it do? 26 degrees, man. The barbershop, like Larion said, back in action every week. We ain't missed a week, man. We've been doing it since, yeah. When was the first episode? May? No, June of last year, I think.
I think this is episode 42, I want to say. So we'll know once we hit 52. That's 1 year. That'll be 10 weeks. That'll be 52 weeks. So, yeah, close to a year solid, man. No weeks off, man.
Yeah, we working, man. We're going to get bigger and better. You know what I'm saying? We're going to stay at it. We got
y'all stay with us.
We got the street general, the real field general, X, the legend. X a real legend, y'all. Real talk, though.
What's happening, folks? I'm back. Last week, man. I was going through some personal issues last week, man, but I'm back.
Yes, sir.
I'm back. Yes, like sir. I never left.
Yeah, he had PTO, y'all, so he still got paid for it for the day off.
PTO, baby.
I'm back, man.
Good to have you back, bro.
It's just good to just relax, man, and enjoy life and do what you love doing, man. So,
right.
Back. What's up, baby? I seen a whole bunch of craziness over the timeline for a week and a half, man.
It's been insane out there, man. We're going to get into a little bit of that stuff.
It's one hell of an offseason so far, I can tell you that.
What?
Yeah, it is, for real. I don't remember an offseason like this, man.
It's been entertaining. It's been entertaining.
Man, it's too much going on, man. And I think, okay, so when you was talking about, I think we are, because I think our first episode was like, in June, I think.
Yeah,
I believe so. Yeah, I said we close.
I think our first episode was in June because I remember I was supposed to do something we was going into June, and I think that was going around into Paradise Camp time or something like that.
Yeah. And we get ready to have what did it
right before fall practice started.
What's the new one called?
Legends camp.
Yeah.
So yeah, we should be at almost a whole year.
We like I said, rolling up. Let me see. I'm gonna look exactly what number we at, because I think the last one was 41. So
first few couple ones, I was jugging off the iPhone, talking off the iPhone with the headphones. Boy, done got the mic now, man. We got
it, man. 40. We had this
Glass episode, House.
This is episode 43. So yep, we about 9 weeks away from hitting that year mark. That'll put us at 52 weeks. So yeah,
I seen that boy Ruiz follow the
One of the Ruizes.
gotta be doing something right.
Yeah, we doing some things, man. We're gaining some traction. We're gonna continue to keep pushing. And continue to give you guys the best content we know how to give, man. I tell you, it's funny. I've had information we broke here first. And then I realized, I was like, wait, we broke that. and I didn't even realize that we had broken on here. So y'all looking at some of them sites, and you can get some of that info here before you get it on there. We did the same thing on the roll up. We broke some info there. And I tell you what, I don't think there's anybody listening to this that don't listen to the roll up. But maybe if y'all don't, trust me, you want to listen to this week's show, man. You ain't even gotta like sports to like this show, man. We had Leon Orr on there.
Yeah, that was classic. Dude, that was classic.
My God, that cat, he is raw, uncut, unfiltered. Oh man, he was a play. I didn't hardly say nothing because he was talking so much and giving it up. I was like, hey, someone was like, yo, don't let me hog the mic. I'm like, nah, bro. Hey, go. I'm not gonna mess up the flow.
Yeah, it sounded like he was ready to let some of that stuff fall. Like he couldn't wait to say some of it.
And because you know why? Because he wasn't a star. He came in under a great class. It was three highly talented defensive tackles. It was Leon. Damn, who was the? He was a monster in the middle.
Easily.
Yeah,
that boy was a monster. That boy was a monster. That was a trick.
Yeah, he wasn't at the collegiate level. Yeah, he didn't quite pan out as much.
And I think was Ronald Powell in that class? No, that was before that. That was before.
Was Powell in that? Yeah, but I think Powell. Wait.
Powell was that five star from the. Yeah,
can't remember exactly because I don't keep up with Gators like that. But I tell you this much. He set a fire on Gator Twitter too, in the Gator community. We might have Black on this week. Black might want to get some get back off of that conversation. But yeah, man, y'all want to hear that one for sure, man. How y'all been, man? How you been since the last time we convened? We last recorded. You know, we moved the schedule around a little bit in the off season. You guys, you know, it's slow time, so we trying to let as much news kind of populate so we can give it to you guys, you know, with the most information. That's why, as of right now, I'm probably gonna keep dropping on Mondays, maybe Tuesday, because roll up drops on Monday actually, but probably dropping on Tuesdays. So I give y'all a little bit of content Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I don't know who dropped Thursday and Friday. So, you know, we'll look at it. But how y'all boys been, man? What's been going on?
I've been good, man. School year winding down. I think we got like 3 weeks left. Can't wait. The day we get out of school, I'm driving myself to Florida. I'm going to be in Tampa for about 3 weeks.
Man, that's what's up. I'm going to come forward with you then. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'll come and meet you.
Yeah, that's a bet. And I'm thinking about going down to Miami too. So I'll probably try to link up with you when I head down there. But
you got to come take the Kush House out.
Yeah. I'm going to try to do all that. And I say 3 weeks. It might be like a month. I'm just going to be cooling, man, at the crib. But no, I mean, I've been good. I can't complain. Life is what you make it, man. You know what I'm saying? Amen. Life is really, really what you make it, man. So I've been cooling. Can't complain. Vibing. Doing my thing.
Yeah, man. That same. Just trying to get things back in. Well, things are in order. Just... I had to take a break, a mental and physical, man. There's just so much stuff that I do that I just don't sit down and say, man, just rest. You know, you don't really got to do everything just because, you know what I'm saying? Just
right.
You sit down, man.
And that's important. Mental,
yeah.
That's important. Hey, I might tell you I don't feel good. People automatically think physical. It might be mental with me. I might be like, I just don't feel good. Yeah. So I don't want to get, you know, like, hey, I need to be away from anything that feels like work, anything that may feel like stress, and just need a little break from that. That's important, man. So that's why, you know, whatever's going on, I don't feel good. I want everybody listening to keep that in mind. Apply to your mental just as much as it does your physical. So
yeah, I mean, but the thing about it is, even when sometimes if you don't feel good when it's mental, it can transform to being physical.
So physical, yeah, absolutely.
So stressed out, you know what I'm saying? Absolutely. You know, it's going to take a toll on your body. So
stress will show up in the body.
Yeah, you just gotta show up in... Let me just take a break. Exactly. Let me breathe and relax. You know what I'm saying? Before things get worse than what it is. You know what I'm saying? And it, like you say, it don't necessarily always got to be about your health. It's just mental, like
yeah, and that is health.
You need your mind, because I don't want to be out there and then something pop off and you know your mind is so far gone and it just something happened.
Hey, everything within us starts first at the brain.
At the brain.
Secondly, in the gut. Now, you know what they say? You got a gut feeling? Because what we feed ourselves is going to reflect physically. So you feed yourself garbage, poison. You know, like I say, I tell people all the time, I'm far from perfect. You know, I'm drinking liquor right now. I know it's poison, though. I ain't going to sit here and lie to y'all. So, it's, you know, just keep that in mind. You know, your mental. It starts in the brain, secondly, the gut. So what you put in there is going to come out. And it's important that I'm a big mental health advocate, man. All you got to do is tell me, I don't feel good, dog. Salute. Take care of yourself, brother. If there's anything I can do, let me know. If not, come back when you're ready.
Period. Yeah, the older I get, I'm realizing that. Like in my 20s, like I knew I was like having like a feeling down, and I knew it was mental, but like it was always like, man, fight that junk. Like, you a man, you can't be feeling down, you can't do all that. But like, the older I get, I'm like, man, that's okay. Like, you know, just take a little break. You know
it's okay.
Saying?
Yeah, take a break. Yeah. Thanks, man. Go talk to somebody.
The key is right. The key is figuring out how to get out of the mental slump in a healthy way. Because, like, one thing I'm a drinker, but one thing I will not do is if I'm feeling down, I don't drink. I put that away. I don't need nothing suppressing me anymore. So I always make sure if I'm dealing with any type of just feelings of depression, I will not pick up any type of alcohol, because I know that's only going to multiply the problem. You may not feel it in the moment. It's just like, oh, you know, it's fun, it's loose, I'm letting go, blah, blah, blah. But your problem's still going to be there when you get sober. So
I ain't gonna lie, I haven't got to that point, man. Sometimes I just like, man, just go drink.
Sometimes, no. And sometimes that's gonna be your cure for the minute. You just gotta realize it can't, because it's the thing, right? Okay, say I get stressed out and say, man, I need a drink. I'm feeling not. Okay, so you do that and you put that Band-Aid on, but your arm broke. Okay, so cool. It feels better for that little minute. Eventually, though, you got to face your issue. That's the biggest difference. Because otherwise, you're just going to be drunk every day trying to avoid the issue. Like, oh, let me just get wasted. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let me get wasted. So that don't make it go away. That makes you not care. And I get that. I absolutely get that. Sometimes you need to not care for a little period of time to recalibrate and then come back and say, ah, now let me deal with what I got to deal with.
Yeah.
Me myself, man, I've been cooling. I've actually been dealing with a little bit of physical ailment. Still trying to get some answers on that. Some stuff with my stomach, actually. See, you know, go like I said, head, gut, man, it's all there. And waiting on some test result type stuff. I'm feeling a hell of a lot better though. That's why those who tune in to the roll up. That's why Maul plugged in for me on that show, was because I was dealing with some physical pain where I literally, it hurt to laugh. And I was like, I can't, it's hard for me to do the roll up and not laugh. So I'm like, dog, I don't think I need to do this show. So I had Maul sub in for me on that one. So yeah, I'm still waiting on some test results, but I can say today I feel a hell of a lot better. So for the week, honestly, I went to work Monday. I left early Monday and I didn't work the rest of the week. today's the best I felt. Hopefully that's a good sign. You know, I'll wait until I get some more information from these physicians. And, you know, we'll see what it is from there. No fear in my heart, really, though. It is what it is. The key to health issues is understanding what they are and then attacking it.
Bottom line. Understanding it's okay.
Yeah, yeah, whatever it is, okay, this is what it is. It could be, God forbid, it could be cancer. Okay, cool. Now, how do we attack it? And that's the key thing. You can't take, when it comes to your health, you can't take bad news as the opportunity to lay down. You have to look at that as, hey, all right, what do we do next to give myself the best chance with this thing? So I don't think is anything that serious with me. Don't get me wrong. I'm not being that dramatic. Nonetheless, it is what it is. Ready to get back out there. I'm going back to work Monday regardless. So it is what it is at this point. But life ain't bad, man. I ain't got too many complaints. Meezy, you told us what you was up to lately? I think you just stepped out.
Yeah, no, I said I was cooling. Summer break coming up. Ooh. Hit down the floor.
That's right, that's right.
Definitely going to link up with y'all. Matter of fact, Larry, my mama got a house in Thomasville. Yeah, Thomasville. You might go parlay in Thomasville for like a weekend or something. You probably pull up. I know Thomasville ain't too far from you, is it?
I'll look it up after we get done. Because I know if you're going to be down there 3 weeks, I definitely end up sliding down to Orlando. And then, like I said, ain't but an hour from Tampa, so you can come slide to
Orlando. My brother's staying in Orlando. I probably just stay the night with him.
Right, I definitely want you to come check that out. We need to shoot some content in there as well. We're eventually going to get all that done. I think we'll see some more of that come football season. We're going to try to line up a few things. I know
it's ain't enough for me to hit the Cush House. That's Tampa. That's basically Orlando. That's home. That's home. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're looking to do a lot more visual stuff in the future.
Yeah. Actually, my dogs in Tampa went down to the Cush House for the signing day thing. Roll up. Yeah. So my dog, Deron Bud, shot them boys.
Okay.
They slid like the little 45 minutes, hour drive to live with the Cush House for the signing day thing. Said it was lit and everything. So,
oh man, it's always a good time in there, man. It's always a good time in there. Great vibes, very grown folk. Just a good place to chill at, man. You know, we got that, bro. When we shot that footage, and the next one's gonna be so much better because the audio was a little jacked on that one. You know, I was learning lesson on that one, but you talking about just vibing and just having a good time and just kicking it. Dog, that shit was so
good. Yeah, man. Shout out to Silk too, man. People feel how they feel about it, you know what I'm saying? But Silk be working, man. Shout out to that boy.
Yeah, that's my guy. It's my brother.
Silk be working, man.
It's so funny. I'd be like, that's my brother, man. He if you hate him, he did his job. Because you don't know him. And all he did is troll you into anger. Ain't good. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, still probably be rapping half the time on Twitter, man. He be going there, do his dirt, get everybody riled up, and he all.
Let me tell you something. I always tell him this. I said, "Boy, you the best." And I say, "You know why? You made me give a shit about Gator football." I said, "Be honest, I didn't really care that much about Gator football. We don't play them every year. We get in recruiting battles with them, but I'm like, yeah, they don't really matter to me though because I really don't care about. Let's say a recruit goes to Florida State. Well, I know we got a chance to mush his shit in. Like, we can smash his face in. So go ahead. Go on up them people up there in the up north. Cool. I'm going to see you. And when we mush your shit in, I'm going to say, uh-huh. Picked the wrong side, didn't you? With the games, is like, well, shit, I don't know, man. We play.
You got to eat it. You got to eat it if they get a certain recruit. You're going to have to eat it for a couple of years.
And I mean, if they pan out. A lot of times, they honestly don't. Probably the last one was Hendo. He panned out to be a first round pick. Great pickup for them. But a lot of those guys that switch and flip.
Bogo gone. Bogo went to where? Michigan State. Bogo
left again. Yeah. Plenty of them. The list is honestly too long to get into. But let's get into what's going on around the program right now. Let's see what we got here today. Well, I guess, you know, it's off season, so
what you looking at, Larry?
Going to the group chat, Maul left us a few pointers. We got some fan questions too, so we're gonna get into that. We'll get to those probably right after this. It's not a lot. It's just a few little bullet points. Just scroll up a little bit. It's not a lot in there, but so yeah, I guess, you know, right now the biggest thing obviously is going to be recruiting and, you know, the board. Now I'm going to ask you this, X, real quick. Somebody, I don't remember where I heard it, but I swore I heard somebody say that Mario doesn't have a big board. Is there any validity to that?
Wait, what you mean? He don't have a what?
Mario don't have a big board.
Yeah, I was like,
What you mean though?
Basically, like, talking about so you have a recruiting board and it's
got you.
You got your A guys, you got your B guys, and you got your C guys. I don't know. I mean, that's crazy because Mario board is very huge.
We all have boards everywhere. Yeah.
Right. So when they said that, I was like, well, I could kind of get that because, you know, people saying, oh, I thought he was going to lock down South Florida. I said, well, maybe eventually. Right now, though, I think he understands. And lock down South Florida is relative, okay? Let's be clear there. He'll never keep all the greatest talent in South Florida.
It's impossible.
It just can't be done. It's no longer a possible thing. So that's not what I'm saying. But if you look at the offers that we have out in general, they are in Maryland. They are in Jersey. Yeah.
It's a big board.
Cali, yeah, it's huge. The net he's cast is humongous.
Yeah, it's huge. Now, the one thing I would say, if they're talking about priority, the priority board, then every coach has that. Every coach has a list of 15 to 20 players that they must go
after.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Something like that, yeah, but the board is huge. Like you just said, he's sending offers and going to see kids all over the country.
All over the U.S.
You know what I'm saying?
And I love it. I love it. It's a new day. If they're going to take the best of what we got out of South Florida, then we got to make it our priority until we can start roping those kids back in to take the best that Maryland got. Because they got some players. They just don't have as many.
It's
your job to take some of the best that Texas got. You got to. Even when, you know, Miami and its prominence always has some of the best out of Texas and California.
California, quarterback from New Jersey.
Louisiana
would be a great place to try to get a good foothold in. It's tough. I mean, LSU just own them people. Boy.
LSU basically going to get popped. Then if they don't go to LSU, they probably going to go to an SEC school.
It's usually Bama. Mississippi State.
Even to talk about locking down South Florida, I think they misunderstand what Mario's saying or what people really think about locking down South Florida. It's not about, okay, well, a kid is not leaving South Florida. That's impossible.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's impossible. So even when, when Mark Fletcher committed to Ohio State, everybody said, well, I thought Mario was going to lock down South Florida. He's recruiting probably the best running back in the nation, Cedric Bester.
Right.
Are we going to complain about he didn't get Mark Fletcher?
And they're not quitting on Mark Fletcher.
Yeah, I was about to say, Mark Fletcher just visited a couple weeks ago, didn't
they? I keep telling people, man, when Mario started getting the kids to come visit on official visits from summer to during the season time, that's when you start saying, okay, now it's serious. Right now, it's like, hey, man, don't commit unless you really want to commit.
Right. He told a four-star corner from California he committed elsewhere, but he wanted to commit after one weekend. Mario was like, nah, man, just go home, think about it with your family and stuff. I think we talked about this a while ago, Larry, but he ain't he ain't pressuring. I don't think Mario pressuring nobody to commit.
Nah, he's not. He's like not. That.
The pressure should come from
it's not sustainable
pitch. That's what I think. The pitch and the consistency in that. Whatever you selling a kid on, you stay consistent on that. You speak to them often. You keep a good relationship. That's why we were able to double back on a guy like who's the tight end we got out of Carolina? Skinner.
Like Jalil Skinner.
Skinner, right? The reason you're able to double back is because Field is a good recruiter, great recruiter. it's not high pressure. He even said the first person to congratulate him when he committed to Alabama was Field. Not the Alabama coaches. Field got on the phone. Hey, congratulations, man. You're going to have a great opportunity in Alabama. Kept the relationship genuine.
Yeah, his dad said that. His dad said Fields never stopped recruiting him. When he committed to Bama, like you said, congratulated him and said, I'm still going to be talking to you. Like, I'm still going to be on your ass.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Because it ain't done to the paper sign.
Yeah, it don't stop to the ink drop. The South Florida kids at the same time are going to still go to the UM games. It's like they go to the UM games.
It's right there, yeah.
So, they start saying, well, UM, they winning these games. And the coaching staff doing recruitment like this? Okay. Now it's listen, a little.
Our staff on paper, top five.
Right.
I mean, that's just what it is.
You just got to win some games. That's it.
We got to pull together.
That's all it is.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hey, are y'all worried about so a lot of Kane fans thinking I feel like I don't want to say a lot, but there's some Kane fans out there worried right now
about
we're not getting commitments and stuff. I'm not worried. I ain't worried.
I'll tell you why. When our Kane fans aren't worried, they worried. Right? When aren't they?
Yeah, we got a lot of Kane fans got a lot of trauma though.
I'm gonna tell you this. This is the crazy. That's how crazy they got us, right? I would be more worried if we had a lot of commits. Because what's the one thing we get all the time?
Right.
Flips, decommits.
All the time.
Look,
they use us to raise their profile.
We would have 10 commits right now, usually.
Right? And then what's it worth? They just using us to raise their profile. Just like I was telling CJ on we was having a conversation now on the show, and we was kind of making fun of the Cromin Hawk kid. Who was their 2024 QB. He committed. I said, damn. And I went to watch his tape. And it was god-awful because most of it, he's playing special teams.
Safety. When he was playing quarterback,
like,
man.
They had like four quarterback highlights. Then we interviewed a QB coach who works with them out of Jacksonville. His name's escaping me right now. But whatever. And the guy came on and said, man, this kid... You know, he got a hell of an arm. He's really talented. He said, you know, Savannah's got some real good talent in the last couple of cycles, especially at QB and all. And I said, okay, cool. I'm going to check out the city then because that's not what we normally do. Well, you know what I just saw from kid? Blessed to receive an offer from Penn State. Blessed to receive an offer from, I think Clemson finally popped on him because the guy was telling us, Clemson would be close, very close on pulling the trigger on giving him an offer. So I told CJ, I said, you know that boy just using y'all, right? I said, he ain't coming to Florida State, dog. Every offer he's getting is better than Florida State. Y'all just jump early because you're trying to get ahead of the curve and hope you can sell him on loyalty. Because, hey, man, we saw you first now, and we saw it in you first. Yeah, it sounds good. To the business come to play. Boy, I'm going on record now, and I hope a Florida State fan clip this. Luke Cromin Hawk will not be a Seminole. He will not be a Seminole. Too many big boys getting involved. I've seen him throw. Boy got live arm. He's not. A&M, I think, is another school that went ahead and offered.
Florida State might have. They ain't had no good class on the Novell.
Hey, listen,
they gonna struggle. Hey, what you said on Twitter the other day?
If y'all see my tweet, that's a real tweet. It was real.
That was crazy, man.
A recruit. The man say, man, University of Central Florida has better NIL deals than Florida State, and I started laughing. And then somebody did point out to me, that's in Orlando, so they dub. But it's funny because you would never just think that, you know what I'm saying?
How did that happen?
Don't even do a deep dive. Who's going to help Florida State? Their biggest booster or could possible booster alumni is the Spanx lady. Do you think the Spanx lady is that invested in athletics? She doesn't appear to be. She has never shown that. So that's the other problem with Mike Norvell is if you want to fire him, who's going to cover the bill? You still paying Willie.
See they what I'm saying? They still paying Jimbo, ain't it?
Nah. No, not Jimbo.
Jimbo paid his way out.
A&M paid him.
It was something that I saw. If they fire Willie, not Willie, if they fire Norvell, they're going to have two coaches. They still got to pay millions of dollars every year.
That would be Norvell and Willie if they fire Norvell. No, A&M poached them, A&M had to pay them. And they still down bad. So as far as those financials go. So I mean,
but like I said, it was just a funny tweet, man. Because when the kid said it, like, and it caught me off guard because I didn't even ask him about Florida State. I knew the kid was receiving a lot of interest from Central Florida. So I'm like, yeah, man, what's going on? Like, why you just don't go ahead and commit? And he like, yeah, I'm still wearing my options. Central Florida got better NIL deals, offers than Florida State. And I was like, like, I just had to start laughing. Like, it was just so funny the way he said it.
UCF is facilities wise, they got nice stuff as well. I mean, it's not a piece of shit school. It just doesn't have the tradition that the other, you know, schools.
I think they got the most. They're getting money too because they got the most students in Florida enrolled at their school.
Yeah,
in the country, I think.
It's a big school. It's a big school.
I don't really want to make jokes about. It's almost like going to a community college, man. You know, everybody can get in Central Florida.
It's not the most strenuous academic requirements and all that. Yeah, I mean, we keep it out. Ain't no problem with that. Let's get into.
But yeah, back to the recruits, man. You're gonna get some recruits to pop, then you're gonna get some to just wait during the season because some still want to see if Miami is something that we've not become accustomed to.
And I get that. I get that recruits waiting. You know what I'm saying? I honestly, we all get that. Because we want to see.
Hell yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
I say the goal this year, you can get recruits as long as you win the games you're supposed to. Them recruits ain't going to trip if you lose to A&M and Clemson. They're going to say, they've been stacking talent a little bit longer.
They'll trip if you lose a certain weight to them, though.
Yeah, they just want to see us fight. You know what I'm saying?
You can't go out there and not look like
you're going to get whooped 60-70.
You lose those close games, and you look like you belong. It's okay. Things start to look better.
Stay home. They know what they're doing here. Yeah, they more talented than them. They've been building talent, but yeah, you got to show somebody something. And I respect that. I'm not asking them to just keep blindly following allegiance to a school. You got to take care of yourself. You got to make sure
you got to take care of what's important, man. It's winning on the field. Because
we haven't won since these boys been alive. So what allegiance do they really have to Miami in the first place?
Well, I mean, you get city allegiance. I'm from Savannah. Man, Bulldogs run rampant here. You know, and we 4 hours away from Athens, right? So you do have some city allegiance. You've got, these people are like, I'm just going to be faithful to the city.
But the only thing about Georgia too is though, like Georgia it's don't have Georgia. No city like Miami, right? You got Georgia Tech, but that's not really, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they're not. Right.
You got Florida State, you got Florida, you know what I'm saying? You got UCF on a little come up, whatever they got going on, you know what I'm saying? So,
and Ohio State. Alabama.
Right, you know what I'm saying? So that's why I feel like ain't no allegiance with the Miami boys. Like, because we haven't been winning, everybody want them. So what allegiance do they really have?
So what's really important, too, is, man, the fact that most of them schools, the major schools, they have things in place and in order for the kids to prepare themselves for their next goal, which is getting to the NFL or something like that. You know what I'm saying? We was doing that just off of our natural ability. You know what I'm saying? Right. Let's get back and let's go work out with the former Canes who were in the NFL. That was natural stuff. You know what I'm saying? We didn't have facilities in place and stuff like that. And it was like, man, okay, but Andre Johnson not there working out. Andre Johnson and Reggie Rain not there working out. The Santana Moss. Who don't want to go work out with them?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So we ain't. guess what? Right now we looking like, okay, well, who we got that's in the NFL that's playing receiver that we go work out with?
There you go. And that's the difference. So we got to up the profile some. Not doing bad at all on the trail. I'm going to mention a couple of guys that have dropped their top groups.
We actually got a big weekend on the recruits that's on campus today.
We got Kalen Lee, the cornerback from Georgia. We got Andy Jean. We got the Osceola, two Osceola boys, LeBlanc and John Walker. They there, and somebody else there today too.
It's like 10 of them or something like that. It probably might be more, but.
The tight end who decommitted from Clemson.
Yeah.
He there today.
Masika?
Masika, something like that.
Yeah. Right. So this is the thing that I think a lot of Miami fans have to adjust to a little bit is we're casting a wider net, and the reason that you're not seeing a high class right now is, again, we're big game hunting. The difference is last year with Manny, them kids didn't believe Manny could get them there. This year, I think Mario has a better track record and a better sales pitch. So that's one reason our class is ranked low right now, because we're going for big dogs and we're competing. We're not competing against Louisville, USF, Pitt, and Georgia Tech.
And Florida State. Yeah, we really not even competing against Ohio State like that this cycle.
Yeah, right. Exactly. We're competing against Ohio State, Alabama,
Texas A&M.
These are the schools that we're going up against right now. So when it comes to these type of prospects, closing is probably going to be a little bit later in the process because, these kids got real decisions to make. They got to really sit here and go, damn, all right, shit, Georgia just won it all. Alabama was right there. There ain't no slouch. Ohio State's still solid. A&M building something over there. They got real decisions to make when it's us versus, Louisville, South Florida, Virginia Tech, and Syracuse. Well, we should be the pick, and often we are, but then that also kind of screams to the talent level. So you see the stars and go four, and I'm like, yeah, but
who really wanted that though?
Who really wanted him?
Yeah,
right. A couple of guys announced their finals though. We had a four-star Jackson Howard.
Tight end.
He's a tight end, but they recruited him at the end.
6'4", 245. That's the thing with this kid. He's a tight end / DN out of Minnesota. 86 player in the nation.
His dad and coach John Salavaglia are really, really, really close.
I heard.
I think he's just a freak athlete at the end of the day. So whatever position he plays, I think he's going to be effective. He's 86 nationally, 7th at athlete. We are in his final four, and I believe we have his last visit.
We had the last visit. June.
We're up against Minnesota, hometown, Michigan, LSU, and then us. So feeling pretty good about Jackson Howard in general.
I feel great about him.
Yeah, even the way he talks about Miami.
Me and Gabby were speaking about him the other day on the space, and we both came to the conclusion like we really feel good about him. Like once I found out that him and his dad and Coach John Salavaglia are close like that, I was like, that's in the money. And then one thing he did say was, "Man, I get to go talk to Jason Taylor every day in practice." And I was like, "Oh."
That's crazy.
You know what I'm saying?
We're doing something. They can get all the jokes off. We building something. Like I said, bro, the shirt's coming too. It ain't funny no more. We were a laughing stock because why? We didn't want to spend no money. Not money getting spent. Oh, look at their weight room. First off, Shout out Big Noel, whatever the rest of them numbers is. You're a funny guy. But y'all have to be short bus riders to think that was the weight room. I'm like, no. You think that's
I
know. But at the same time, it looks bad on him because you're selling it like it is. And then anybody that agrees with you, come on, bro.
Yeah, he actually got their fans thinking that's something real.
You know
a troll when it's just a troll, and then you know when somebody's thinking it's real.
Really buying in. Yeah, I was like, I can't believe they buying in. Another guy that we made that top list, De'Ron Reed, defensive lineman, I want to say out of Georgia. We made his top six. Pretty impressive group outside of FSU. He's with FSU, Auburn, LSU, Ohio State, and Texas A&M. A guy I feel pretty solid with as well. We'll see how that one pans out. And then
Jaden Wayne got his top five, I think. I think we got his last visit, too.
Yeah, Jaden Wayne. I don't know if we got his last.
I thought that was his
I
last.
I think we got, visit. No, we got that. We got, okay, his last is Bama. We the third. We before his last. We the week before his last.
So Bama's the last, and then we got before Bama.
Yeah.
I don't think you're going to like Bama. That's just my gut. I just don't think you would like the culture around that.
I heard Bama was. I heard it's Bama than us. I don't know how true that is, but that's what I'm hearing.
I can see that, but I just got a good feeling on that one.
Yeah, I had a great feeling early on, but now
he was messing with us when we had Diaz. Came down to the Bama, Paradise Camp.
I feel like Bama just, you know, Bama gonna be Bama.
Yeah. Bama. I'll feel better if we can get him to commit on that visit, obviously, instead of going to Alabama. But I'm feeling
okay. Like- so the good thing about it is we got him the week before he goes to Bama. Now, if it was vice versa, where Bama has him the week before he comes to UM, Bama probably say, "Hey, commit and don't go to the visit."
Right.
Yeah. I don't think we're gonna put that pressure on him. I think we're gonna make him feel like that's the move. That's what I'm confident in this crew we got, man. I think they're going to make them feel like it's the move. And then outside of that, we got a couple of offers out.
Malik Bryant put his top five, too, didn't he? No, top four.
Yeah, he comes on a visit in June.
We got his last visit. We got somebody last visit. Is it Malik Bryant? I think we got Malik Bryant last visit. I'm about to check that.
Double check that. Malik's another kid I feel good on.
I don't think we get him for some reason.
Well, I'll tell you what I do like about Malik. He's a kid. We actually been trying to get him to roll up. The kid just may have scheduling issues. And he's like, nah, I ain't forgot y'all. I was like, nah, it's all good, bro. Do what you got to do. It ain't that big a deal. I like Malik because I think Malik can have – he kind of has – he reminds me of Shaq Quarterman. I think he values building something a little more than just jumping in on the train. So that's one reason I feel pretty good about Malik. That's just from some of the things in his movements and things I've heard him saying. That's why I want to definitely get him on for that interview. I think he looks at it a little more maybe like I do, like, I want to just join them. They ain't even my side. Like, I'm not Tuscaloosa. Like, nobody wants to go to Tuscaloosa. I've said it 1,000 times. I've said 1,000 more. It's not the landing spot. You know, like, get out of here. Even for Nick Saban, which we'll talk about that in a little bit.
And that's why they have to have all that. You know, the major schools have to have everything surrounded around the school because that's all they got.
That's all you can provide these kids.
Nobody really wants to wake up and say, man, okay, I got to go do 4 years over here in Alabama. Like, but they know they're going 4 years because Alabama got certain things, and then they win and send the kids to the NFL. So
right, right.
You know what I'm saying? But if they wasn't winning and sending kids to the NFL, ain't nobody waking up and saying, oh, boy, Alabama's the coach. No.
Right. I'm in Tuscaloosa this morning on a Saturday.
Right.
Since we talking about Orlando too, LeBlanc, the D lineman we after, he pushed his commitment date back. I saw.
Yeah. That one right good. There is getting tricky because I felt good about him going to Florida at first, but now
when he pushed it back, I don't know.
He's looking at UM. Like, let me I just said it, man. I feel good about the staff, man. I feel like our staff is close with the best.
They know what they're doing. It's not a, you know what I'm saying? Everybody know everybody on that staff been in them big recruiting battles, you know what I'm saying? So, and then you got the head honcho who he lives and breathes recruiting.
The only position I'm worried about is the quarterback position. I don't know what Coach Frank's doing, but
that's your boy, X.
If he needs me, just tell him to call me, man.
That's your boy.
I don't got nothing against Fonts. And speaking of QB, we're evaluating Avery Johnson out of Kansas.
Emory Williams.
Emory's there.
Emory's supposed to commit like this weekend, ain't he?
Yeah, it's supposed to be like he might commit.
He might. But I don't think, you know, people are kind of panicking. And I like Emory. I've heard some fans say they don't. I watched this film. I like him. However, I don't think that means that's the end of our recruiting. If we get him to commit, I don't necessarily think we're done at quarterback.
Yeah, he ain't gonna scare nobody off, type.
Well, okay. Right. So now the fact that they just allow the over the 25 scholarship limit, I think we'll get two quarterbacks committed.
I think that's very possible. You may see one of them eventually shift. But yeah, I think we can probably get two. So, like I was saying, Avery Johnson, 6'2", 170 out of Kansas. He's the number 11 quarterback in the nation, 151 in the entire nation. Right.
Man, I saw him going down the lane in basketball, funking on somebody. He led his basketball team to a state championship.
Yes, he did.
He's a complete athlete. I don't know if he plays quarterback in college because he's just that athletic. Like,
he's a 4.5 40, 4.2 short shuttle. Got through for 2550 with 20 TDs and 6 interceptions, and also ran for 1,080 with 22 rushing touchdowns. So you're looking at just a tremendous athlete. I'm with you, X. Like, man, I don't know. He might be able to play wide out.
Yeah, he could play running back, maybe. I don't know. I'm just keeping it real. I feel like somebody that athletic, I don't want him at quarterback. I want him to be on the field,
catching passes,
doing something. Because now he's at quarterback.
Just get him on the roster. The whole game, get him on the roster.
Being athletic instead of that. But, I mean, I take him. You know what I'm saying? If we go take him, I take him. Because that's just a player you just don't say no to.
He committed to Kansas State right now, right?
No, he's not committed to nobody.
Okay.
No, he's not committed. Definitely an interesting prospect there. And then, you know, we're still in it with Rashada. Right now, I think Rashada ends up at Ole Miss, is my guess.
Whoever paid brother most, that's what it's looking like.
Well, that, and he's got his brother, right? His brother is at BYU.
Well, no, the brother isn't anywhere right now. He decommitted from BYU.
He dropped the top three, and we was in it. I think Ole Miss was in it too.
Virginia Tech and Ole Miss. Yep, that was the top.
I think the problem with Rashada is he's looking for a fit where he can come in and compete right away. Knowing he ain't gonna be able to come and compete right away at UM, just don't make sense. Like,
I think that's because if you look at his top five, no, I think he dropped the top five, top six. If you look, besides Miami, where he's going to have to come battle with Garcia, he can go in and play right away at them other schools that's on his list.
He has Jake Garcia, and he has Ja'Cory Brown in front of him.
Right.
I don't know how easy that's going to be for me to just go in and take that, opposed to other schools who don't have the guys that's in place already.
That's a fact.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like I explained the other day on Space, it's not bad that you don't get him because –
Right,
it's a quarterback situation.
Right, he's scared off a little bit.
Don't got Jake, you know what I'm saying? If we don't got Jake, you're saying, well, oh boy, you got Jake, and you still got Jake.
And that's the thing. So many people get caught up on the most recent shiny toy that they forget you know, we've got a guy like Garcia that was a highly touted guy that has been in the system, has been developing it, and pretty much is on deck to be next.
And Rashad are from California, so he probably already know about Garcia. He probably already know Garcia.
Yeah, he's familiar. You know what I'm saying? He's familiar. So, you know, nothing to... I wouldn't panic there yet. We'll see how that QB room shakes out. Even if we don't go elite this cycle.
Next cycle for sure, I think we hit.
Next cycle is where, yeah, you be looking.
So let me ask both of y'all a question, because I asked this the other day. Okay, when TVD came to UM, did you think TVD was elite, or you just say, oh, he looks like he could be?
I didn't think he was elite at all.
Nah,
right?
I wouldn't say that. Nope, I ain't gonna lie to nobody.
He's better than I thought he would be at Miami. I didn't think he was gonna do what he's doing right now. Honestly,
I thought he had good potential.
Right, I didn't even think a lot of time with quarterbacks, you don't even know if they're gonna step on the field, because that's how the quarterback position is. So that
came to when I was saying, okay, well, if we do take Emory Williams, why Emory Williams can't be like how TVD was? You know what I'm saying? I ain't gonna lie, nobody outside of me, because I've seen TVD and I played quarterback, so I say, yeah, he got it. Nobody really thought he was gonna be who he is now.
How you feel about Emory right now, X, watching his film?
He got the arm. He got what it takes to play quarterback. I mean,
a lot of people down on he led his team to 6-6, and he's a quarterback.
That's the one thing I got to say is, okay, well, the wins just don't add up.
Yeah, he got a good wide receiver, too, he throwing to.
A quarterback, you know what I'm saying? If you're a good quarterback, you tend to make the team a lot better than they're supposed to be. So, but he's a project. I don't expect him, if we do sign him, to come in and play next year. I don't expect him to play the year after that. I expect him to wait his turn, and when he get in there, he be ready. So I'm not. And then the transfer portal is just so much crazy. Like, why you go crazy because you don't land a certain quarterback, man? No.
Right.
What if you do land Rashada, he gets upset because he's not playing, and then he transfers. It's just like he didn't land him no more.
Right. Exactly, because that's exactly how the game is.
And took up that quarterback spot in that class, so now you're down bad.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah. So,
yep.
And you got it. That's the craziest thing that people don't kind of keep in mind is you got to recruit your roster, not just the guys that you're trying to get in. You got to recruit the guys that's on your team. Because, man, shit, I'll go to Cincinnati and start 1 year, and shit, I'm going to leave. Fuck, you know, trying to get them titles and blah, blah. They like, nah, bro, it's a business move. I got to get up out of here. So, yeah, I don't sweat that type of stuff. You know, you just wait and see, because you made an excellent point. I did not think that. Matter of fact, I remember Tyler Van Dyke did he didn't do that well in the Elite 11.
He did.
He did okay. He had some moments. He didn't do that great.
I think the only
reason now he's in Ivy talk and first round talk.
The only reason he even made the Elite 11, I think somebody got injured or something.
Yep. Right. So, you know, quarterback is a different position. I think a lot of guys emerge at quarterback that you may not necessarily see early. So I agree with you, X. I think Emory Williams could be that kind of guy. And I don't think we need a home run at QB this
time. We don't.
Not this side.
I just don't. Not this side.
We still got Jake and Ja'Cory. Like,
and we don't even know if TVD even leaving this year at the end of the day. You know what I'm saying? Crazy stuff happens. So
TVD have a season like he did last year. Leave.
There you go. Right.
I mean, we can kind of pretty much guarantee that. The only way he don't leave is if he get hurt.
So that's a fact. I'll throw a couple of offers we got out there. New offers. Christopher Johnson Jr., running back.
5'11", 10'4", 100. That's fast.
Yes,
that's crazy fast.
He's fast. Everybody jumping on.
Yeah, he's picking up a lot of offers.
He's going to be a little blazer out there.
Yeah,
man.
If you pull the trigger and say commit, then I think he commits. He stays. He stays.
Stays down south.
I don't think you won't pull the trigger just yet.
I don't think. Yeah, I think they're waiting a little bit.
They still want the big two fish of Baxter and Fletcher.
And Fletcher, absolutely, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
But a guy to keep an eye on would be a good addition, you know, may even be able to play some slot receiver. So with that kind of speed, he's just a kid that you just you want to get around your program and just see what he can do.
Right, you can't teach speed.
Yeah, and he's not small. I mean, 5'11", 180. He's not small. He's just not big. So
that's your slot receiver size, right?
Could be a slot receiver, exactly. So he's a guy that I think you could still bring on and say, hey, man, I think your future would probably be best served as, you know, outside in the slot. So
we offered another, I don't know if you got this, Larian, Kylan Webb. He's from around my way, Riverview, Florida, right outside of Tampa.
I didn't get that one.
Four-star athlete, Florida State, Clemson on him. I saw that today, so I texted my boy who was in, he coaches around Riverview area, and I asked him about him. He said he was at a camp a couple weeks ago. I asked him how he looked. He said he balled. He was one of the camp winners for that week. He's high on Clemson. Said he might be at FSU lane, but we offer him, I think, today or yesterday. So that's something to look out for.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, I see it just now. Yeah.
Who said that? Keon Kelly?
Nah, Kylan Webb.
Kylan Webb. Yeah. Oh. We just offered him about 2 hours ago.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
As we're recording. We're recording on a Saturday. So, yeah.
I thought you said Keon Calvin. Say, man, that man, leave him alone. He ain't coming nowhere near you.
No, I know he's talking about. I know he's talking about. Nah.
Goon, I didn't catch that one. Another one we got out there, 3-star, Adonijah Green, edge player, 6'5", 205 out of Georgia. He's currently a Louisville commit.
They cast in a wide net.
We got another kid out of Texas, 4-star Eno Etta, 6'5", 260 defensive lineman out of Texas. He is the 129th player in the nation, 18th on the defensive line. Quite a specimen, big kid, good body composure, composition, excuse me. So that was good. That was a great offer right there. And we'll see how that kind of pans out. Like I said, they're trying to get, I know Mario's blueprint. They're going to be some big kids, tall, with some length. So he fits that mold, kid to keep an eye on. And that's about it as far as all that goes. Let's get into so recruiting, you know, like I said, it's not going to be, oh, we're at the top of everything early because we're not. Look at Alabama, you know. I just, you know, the quota coach that's no longer a coach here, you know, we ain't going for the June bake sale, bro. I even think we're going to get some commits possibly in June. But I just don't think the early thing is really going to be the barometer for the program under Mario. I think you're really going to judge him by how he closes up, closes these classes. So you got, you know, also something that's been going on just in college football in general. The you're allowed to sign more players as long as you stay under the 85. We might be one of those schools. I have to look at the roster count. So a lot of people looking at that going, oh, they can just sign whoever. Like, well, no, you still got to keep it under the count. So teams are still going to be close with their evaluations. And part of that happening was because of the COVID year, granted extra eligibility. So for the average person that just kind of heard that and misunderstood it, I think, they still have to be under 85.
It'll be like that until 2024. Right. I mean, what's going to happen is teams going to overly recruit 25. They're going to probably get up to 30. The older guys who've been in the program longer, who hasn't done anything, going to get pushed out. Got to get in the transfer portal. And then you got other kids who will transfer eventually with the graduation. So it all works out good. And then it's going to help a lot of them high school seniors who haven't gotten the opportunity because of the transfer portal. You know what I'm saying? So, and then again, you know, if you, I mean, I hate to be as blunt as you can be. if you are that high school kid and you haven't gotten that chance to commit to a school in the Power Five, you know, you better start looking at schools you can commit to. Like, just don't think you're going to be able to commit to Bama just because they gave you an offer. Because if they say you can't commit, guess what? You can't. You're going to keep waiting and be stuck. This kid, man, it's still kids right now that seniors that haven't committed.
Yeah.
No. That's, yeah, you're right. Exactly. So it opens it up for them, which I'm glad. But I think X mentioned it last time. So just understand, it's not like you get to have an additional 7 or 8 players on your roster.
Nah.
And you know, this is another Miami rule. Case y'all don't know, this is Miami sets the standard and the rules for a lot of things in NCAA. The scholarship restriction is because of Miami had so many kids at a point that just wanted to play at Miami, whether they played or not, that they had to put restrictions in.
Yeah.
Because we were snatching up kids that would probably start at Pitt, Minnesota, whatever. And they said, damn that, I want to be a Cane. They just wanted that.
Man, we were snatching boys who could have played at big time schools. I mean, at one point, our backfield was what? Clinton Portis, McGahee,
Najee Davenport.
Frank Gore, come on. Yeah.
Yeah, that was, it was loaded. So, yeah, y'all be clear on that as well. That is also a Miami rule. Again, we set the standards, man. We set the trends. Everybody else just jump in. Know that. Let's get a couple of fan questions, man. I think we'll answer those. We're probably going to get up out of here. So we got one from Slick Talk, a.k.a. Fred 72581. He asked, how we looking on the recruiting trail? I think we pretty much addressed it.
Yeah.
Addressed that right there.
Fred, remain patient. I think as a fan base, I understand we're probably a little jittery. Notre Dame been kicking ass. USC's been kicking ass. But Notre Dame just lost one of their top recruits as well. So,
man, listen, hey, all that means nothing. When school start talking about, okay, well, this is the NIL stuff you're going to get when you come here, it's open for everybody. So,
right. Things all may stop. All this
committing don't mean nothing.
Exactly. Let's see. We got another one from the homie Fly Beezy. With the $10 million investment, what will be the most important upgrade? Okay, first off, it's $100 million.
Yeah. What school he talking about?
Yeah, no, wrong. Yeah.
So is he talking about the NIL deal from Ruiz? Or
no, he was talking about Florida State.
No, he's talking about the because he said it will be the most important upgrade.
Oh, so, okay, so the hundred million.
He's talking about, yeah, he may have meant to put $100 million. Yeah, our investment, or the school's investment is intended to be around $100 million on the facility. So what would be the most important upgrade? To me, I would probably say probably just stretching the IPF. I think that'll probably be the most important one.
I think the most important is building those that football facility. It's not even an IPF.
The most important going to be the weight room and the recovery room.
What would that be? Is that going to be?
It's going to be they're going to put that both will be okay. So the facility is rumored. It's rumored. Everybody, I don't know how true it is, but it's just rumored to be a 3-story building.
They have a nutrition table in there too.
So if it's a 3-story building, just say one floor might be the weight room and the recovery, and sports science where the players would be able to go and recover, work out, eat right, stuff like that. So you might have one floor that's just strictly about. I mean, I don't know. I'm just throwing
right out speculation things that you heard. Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? So that's but. If anything is important, that's the most important. Weight rooms and recovery rooms and sports science.
Actually, you changed my mind. You're right. Because I didn't even think this shit need to be that big.
And we hired
I think it only need to be bigger for trolling purposes. So.
We hired a few sports science people, too.
Yeah, we hired one of the best sports science guys in the nation, the entire nation. Now I'm talking about not just in college. You're talking about professional sports.
Right, so they're going to get their own flow.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So that's been okay, so... Talking to kids, talking to parents, players that goes around these campuses, A lot of them have things that NFL teams have. You know what I'm saying? Like, Bama has a whole sports recovering science that you see why they players be big as hell.
Yeah, yeah. Mario was coaching that. So,
man, listen, right? He got the blueprint. That's why Saban got on his bullshit. We'll close with that. We got two more questions in there. Yeah, we're going to go ahead and close out with that because I definitely want to address that. Good question, man. Appreciate you, BZ. Let's see. This one comes from Kane's Film Room. He asks, what's the mindset heading into summer? What are some of the things they're trying to accomplish on field / off over the course of summer heading into fall?
Mario talked about that yesterday. He said it's going to be full go this summer, like not taking anything lightly. It's going to be a hard summer for the not a hard summer for the kids, but they just going to work them.
No, it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard.
Yeah, they're going to work them, you know what I'm saying?
It's going to be hard.
That's what it's supposed to be.
Pause.
I ain't want to say hard, but that's really what I meant. Like, I ain't want to sound stressful, but it is what it is, man.
It's going to be hard where you're going to see some kids either going to be down or they just going to be like, well, I can't do it.
Can't do it.
It seems like most of them are up. Mostly all of them are up for the challenge, but it's going to be hard.
I think if you're not up for the challenge, you would have left by now. I think everybody on that roster know what was about to happen.
He might be trying to get one more purge. You got to remember, our coach wanted to be a Secret Serviceman. And that I know someone that was going through that process. That is stringent, strenuous. That is hell on wheels. You are going to go through it to make it to that level. So when you're dealing with a coach with that mindset,
yeah,
his mindset is, man, I'm gonna ring you out. Everything you got, just going to take it and put you through the ringer, and every drop of effort, energy, passion, desire, he's going to get it up out of you. Pause. So,
yeah. Competition is basically what you're going to have a lot more. There's no official starters, but we know who's starting. I mean, as far as certain positions and stuff like that, but it's going to be competition. You want everybody to come in and work. That's why I say it's going to be hard. It's going to be super hard because outside of TVD, outside of the punter, and then outside of James Wills, it's outside of those three players,
right?
Nobody on the team is comfortable.
Good.
You know what I'm saying? Even with James
Wills. Right.
No, not that good. We wouldn't be sitting.
We wouldn't have had the off season we just had if everything was all peaches and gravy. Right.
You know, so everything is competition. And then getting the players back healthy, fully healthy. Because we was banged up in spring a lot. We was missing almost 20 some players. So get the guys healthy where they could compete, you know what I'm saying, against each other and motivate each other, work as a unit, unity. That was major the last couple of years. You know what I'm saying? A lot of the players really, some don't like each other or don't like the coach or, you know, like you just can't have that type of stuff in the locker room. You know what I'm saying? A complete culture overhaul, basically.
Like, yeah, and Crystal Ball, to answer that question too, the Crystal Ball's exact words, 247 interviewed him the other day. Shout out to Chris Dahl. He said, this summer is going to be full throttle. Certainly now is the most important time of the year, so it's go time.
Yeah, because guess what? It's the time that the fans not watching, media not watching, nobody right. watching. So it's how hard you gonna work? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you gonna work hard when they come watch you.
And who gonna dig in? Right. Who gonna dig into that playbook?
Everybody gonna work hard when they come watch it, but when they not watching you, how hard you gonna work? You know what I'm saying? Right. That's the important part.
That's the true measure. The true measure is how hard are you working when nobody's looking.
Yeah,
that's the difference. So, I think the culture overhaul is going to show this season. Don't expect us to be undefeated or anything like that. But I just think you're going to see a team that's just awakened and more prepared than we've seen in years.
We in good hands.
Hey, it's funny, because the kid I just mentioned, Keon Kelly, hey, man, that kid right there is a physical specimen, man. He committed Notre Dame. Trust me, I hate that he's going to Notre Dame. I hate it. Because he's a kid that can come and play at pretty much any school right now.
He seemed locked in, too, because you don't even hear nothing. Yeah, you don't even hear nothing about him.
So he goes to
a private school, probably.
Berkeley in Tampa, something like that. Berkeley.
Berkeley Prep in Tampa. That's a Berkeley private Prep. School.
Them kids go to schools like Notre Dame when they go to college because it's the same Catholic training. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah, Berkeley Prep don't play. If you raw and you ain't got them grades, you're going to have to take your ass home somewhere else. Berkeley Prep don't play.
But, yeah, definitely. Man, that $100 million facility finna be outstanding. When he said, well, listen, these people finna spend money on top of money.
And it's funny, too, because he said Miami got a lot accomplished without it, but Mario said he knows it's a business, and he said big business spends money, you know what I'm saying? And so it has to happen. So he said Mario said he thinks it's going to be, if not the best facility in the nation, but one of the top facilities in the nation.
And he even said, and then you got to evaluate that in 5 years because people going to constantly be trying
he
to.
He said that. He said that, too.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I read that article on Athletic. Great stuff there. And let's see. One last question. I have some other stuff. We'll get into that next week. What was the last question? Oh, this comes from Monster X. Why Gator fans weird?
I'll be honest. Hey, I saw that tweet last night. I was dying when I saw that.
I'll be honest with you, my brother. I don't have no answer for that. I came to understand a long time ago. I can't get into the mind of a weirdo. So I can't understand why they act that way. You know, I just understand that it ain't for me. It's not a mind frame that I can adjust to.
No, it's weird, bro.
Yeah, I don't get
man,
it. I
figured out this years ago, long time ago, why they act so weird and funny. You can see Florida State and UM players, former players, still hanging out to this day. They cool, they talk trash, but they cool. They hang with each other, even with the fans.
Yeah.
The Gators are left out. So they feel like, man, we got to jump in with them guys. We got to be a part of this. And we both see them as, man, y'all nobody to us, really. Like, who is y'all? Like, y'all started before us, but ain't getting known until after us.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So they just weird for some.
That's a great question.
It's crazy because I could have had, I almost was going to commit to go play basketball there, man. And I had to really, like, really understand, nope, you can't do this.
Nah, yeah, certain shit I just can't do. But we'll end it on that note, man. We have some other stuff, but we'll save it for next week. It ain't that pressing. It's off season. I mean, we still get y'all boys an hour and change. I can't believe.
It's a shock, man. You know how it is.
Yeah, we just vibing, man.
I don't want to get your hair cut. You and that big vibing, though.
Oh, man, y'all don't want to jump on that saving and Jimbo.
Oh, yeah.
Next week might be something new.
Hold on. Next week might be something new. You're right. I wasn't even talking about that. I forgot we had it on there. So, unless you've been living under a rock, you know that essentially Nick Saban went on a stage and condemned the activities of Texas A&M, Jackson State, and he also managed to bring up, you know, the standard, the bad guys. You know, the real true flagship.
My man bought up a basketball player.
Hey, I know my man's hijacked that and said, you know, oh, they the flagship. They didn't talk about you, brother. They ain't talk about you.
Yeah, they didn't. Right.
Brought us up on a basketball player. A football coach brought us up talking about a basketball.
Basketball. Bro. That was crazy. Yeah, but I was like, damn, Saban.
I joked with my homeboy who's a Bama fan. I say, man, the reason why he brought up the basketball side is because he know Mario probably might say something that he know will be detrimental to him.
Shit, he already pissed off Jimbo. You know, him and Jimbo don't work together. So yeah, Jimbo fired back.
Yeah, but Jimbo fired back. But I just, you know, from the rumors and the stories we've heard of how Mario carried himself, they probably were like, yeah, let me stay away from that guy.
Mario might put his hands on him one day. Yeah.
Jimbo was like, I can't believe he dragged me into this. Not this guy. And he said a lot of things I've said, like, oh, he the best, right? Well, it's kind of easy when you get the cheat. And you get to cheat at the highest level, because this is the difference. Bama players can get in trouble and nothing happens. There's no suspensions. There's no threat to the program itself.
That whole state just loyal to Alabama. That's all they got there.
Right, because that's all they got.
It's the Crimson Tide state.
Right. So, yeah, Jimbo is pissed and shot right back at him. And was like, and rightfully so, because, look, you up sitting up there snitching on people, and you the biggest offender. So all I saw is, as much respect as I always have Coach Saban, all I saw was a big baby up there.
That's right. What I was going to ask y'all.
He let me down with that.
How did y'all take Saban saying that? Because when I saw it, I was kind of confused, and I was like, I know this man's not talking. Like, he owns a dealership, I think, down the street from Bama. But not even just that. But how do y'all feel about him? Because basically he was dry snitching. It's been a lot of dry snitching going on this offseason. I don't even want to say dry snitching. He wasn't dry snitching. He said who he was talking to. He said, we didn't pay anybody. What did he say?
They didn't pay for everybody.
He said they paid for their whole roster. They paid for their whole roster.
So if he would have just said, man, we don't pay for the kids. We recruit how we recruit. If he would have just said that, I'd be like, okay. But
he went out his way.
Went out your way to say Texas A&M paid for every player on
every player.
Okay. Same. And what I see from that is, I take it as, Saban, you're used to getting all the fine girls.
Yep.
Now your homeboy, now finally he got some money, and now he getting fine girls.
Now he mad.
Now you hating. Now you throwing salt on his name. Hey, you know that. You know he a cheater.
He speaks on, you know, and that was the other thing Jimbo brought up. He go, parody. He wants to talk about parody in this game. Huh. Right? That was my Jimbo impression. That's pretty good, actually. That sounded pretty good. Like,
yeah, I did. But,
he's saying you preaching parody. Now that parody has an opportunity to be here, first thing you do is throw me under the bus. First chance you get, because all I heard from Nick was, man, they could close. He even said, we finished number two. I don't know how long we could sustain that with them paying for players. So you telling me your biggest gripe being national champs, bringing in all these number one classes, is that you may not be number one every year?
Larry, I was going to bring it up. That's the saltiest thing out of that whole interview I heard.
Ever heard.
He said, we finished number two. A&M bought their whole class. And I was like, dang, how much?
Yeah, he said, I don't know if we can maintain this.
Right,
so he said, next year we might be three. We might be four.
And a person, Jimbo said this, he's like a narcissist. Like, if he's not number one, it's a problem. How you gonna say I finished with a number two class and I have a problem? Like, that sounds crazy.
If he don't get his way,
sustain that.
If he don't get his way, he starts to cry. He starts to place blame on everybody else.
Why everybody else.
That's what I took from that whole interview. That I had the number two class.
What if next year I'm number four? What the fuck? Like, it's like, Nick, you shouldn't be number one every year. First off, let me bring this up about Nick Saban. Let's be very clear about Nick Saban. Nick Saban is a cheater. Okay?
Then one.
Why is Nick Saban at Alabama? Did he go to Alabama? Was he born and raised in Alabama? Okay, he's born and raised in West Virginia.
It's about the money, man.
He played at Akron, I want to say.
Akron, yeah.
So what's his tie to Alabama? Why did he want Alabama? Because he knew they cheated. He knew he could get in there, get the money to buy the best, and he'll coach him up the rest of the way.
And run the whole program without having to answer to nobody.
Nobody, because he knew, look, I want an LSU. Now get me down there to Alabama. I really could tear shit up down there. Think I'm doing something at LSU. Nobody questions that. Why did Nick Saban want Alabama so bad? He's not a Bama boy. That's not his tradition.
Just look at it like this. You know, it was rumors years ago that even when he was at Bama, he could leave Bama and go to Texas. And everybody was like, well, why would Nick do that? I mean, we knew Texas do got more money than Bama, but
you have to start over a little bit.
They got to compete with Texas A&M and other schools in Texas. Mm. Bama don't got to compete with nobody at Bama.
Exactly.
Besides Auburn, and that's nothing to them.
That's not even real comp.
You know what I'm saying? So when you said something about players don't get in trouble, man, I know stories where players would get in trouble and they would instantly call Nick Saban first. And It's no more trouble.
Man, Saban run that whole state, man.
Like, man, that's cool.
How do you give a coach that much power when they get in trouble? Like, you in trouble and you telling me the police gonna call him?
I mean, it was disappointing, man. It was like watching Nino Brown on that stand, man. It was disappointing. Like, you was the biggest supervillain. You won. You got all the spoils of victory because you didn't do it on the up and up. You're not going to convince any of us that. No human on this, even Bama fans, don't believe that shit. Now, they're going to tell you that because that's just what they got to do to toe the company line. But you didn't even do it in a pure way. And now that there's a chance that some of these schools can legally close the gap, your answer is, well, no, I like being number one. Well, no shit, Nick. Everybody like being number one. The man said, how can I sustain?
Saban been stepping so long, he sees somebody else stepping, and he can't. He don't even know how to deal with it.
He don't know how to get out the way.
Right.
He don't know how to get out the way. One thing about me, it's so funny. I go out, you know, with the homies. Sometimes I got some young homeboys. You know, I'm 41. So I got some homeboys in their, you know, early 30s, late 20s even. And sometimes it's the old head, you gotta be like, man, get out of the way. Let these young boys work. You really just, why that girl ain't really looking at you like that, bro? Let the young boys get some work in, man. You had your time. Did you not get out here and get your opportunity to put some work in, man? All right then, let the young boys do their thing. Nick ain't ready to move out the way at all. And his tactics is dirty macking. And that's disgusting. Shame on you, Nick. Shame on you.
Yeah,
that's
the worst thing you ever done. Yeah,
this is the worst shit you ever done.
I started looking at him funny. I was already looking at him funny, but after that shit, I was like, damn, Saban, like. And then he mentioned Travis Hunter. Oh, Jackson State paid him $1 million. I was like, come on,
he would have been good at D1. Okay, he's gonna be good down there too.
And
he can leave if he wants to, number one.
I remember when Nick was at Michigan State, man. I remember when he first got there.
Yeah, me too.
I'm telling you, he's always been like that. It's just he could never get to the right program that was going to back him up all the way.
Right, and that's why he wanted Bama.
Even at LSU backed him up, but it was like, hey, you know, well.
It ain't Bama.
Bama
he knew what was going on in Bama.
1,000,000,000%.
He knew what was going on in Bama, so he knew that's what his ultimate goal was to get. That's why he went to the Dolphins and hightailed it the hell out of it.
Yeah. He said, and then Nick Saban, you should be happy. The fact that you got probably the greatest dynasty of all time. Maybe one of the greatest dynasties of all time. Be happy. Like, come on. It don't last forever.
But people like him, you know, kind of you would probably say the same for Brady. There's some narcissism to them that they can't let it go. I'm the best, but I want to be the best of the best of the best. Where
it don't last forever.
Close. Yeah, you got to understand, nothing lasts forever, bro.
You had your 15, whatever year, you got it. You the best college coach of all time, Nick Saban. We give you that.
Yep.
I'm saying, don't go down in history as the college coach who exposed all the cheating, and then he's the main one cheating.
Then he quit the main one. Then he gonna
quit.
I'm
saying don't.
Then he's like, you know what? I'm retired. Oh, now you retired after you done flipped the tables over and showed everybody what's going on.
Just go do your thing, man. But this season gonna be very interesting after his comments, because now it's a lot more fuel.
It's still Bama by 30, but still, I'm just saying. Which again is my point. Like, bro, why is you crying?
What's he tripping for? Like, you gonna beat him by 30? What are you doing?
Hey, haters gonna hate, dog. That's it, man. That was ugly, man. I don't even like talking about it. It made me lose so much respect for that dude.
It did. No, it did.
Cause I don't mind you cheating, but then don't cry about other people cheating.
Cause somebody cheating better than you. Somebody cheating better than you.
How you gonna be a player and hate the players? That don't make no sense.
Yeah, don't make no sense at all, man.
That don't make no sense, dog. The game is the game, right?
And so my boy tried to come and apologize. He tried to apologize after.
Now that what makes me mad. I hate when they do that.
Why are you apologizing for? Like,
it's bullshit.
What you said, you said. You meant it too.
Stand on your 10 toes. You said what you said on the camera. And don't come try to apologize when the camera off. Oh, my fault.
That was calculated too, because what he really want is the NCAA to get Miami way. That's what he want. He want the NCAA and put restrictions on the money. He wants them to ramp it up on how these guys can get paid, how much they can get paid. He wants to cap it because he knows cities, you know, schools like a Miami with the ability to legally pay is going to be a much bigger threat. Like Texas A&M is going to be a much bigger threat. That's why he called him out first.
Yeah.
That was the first thing he did.
I was wondering how you called him. I'm like, why the hell you ain't call out USC? Because damn.
Right. But he ain't competing as much out there.
Right.
You know, he
ain't got to see that sometimes. Right.
Yeah, I mean, Bryce Young from out of Cali, but for the most part, he don't do a lot of shopping out there in California.
You think Saban was like, man, I'm getting older. Like, I ain't got time to be adjusting to this new stuff.
It could be that. It's some of that. Ultimately,
Is what Nerd just said. Oh, man, damn, Miami could really spend legal money and get players.
Yeah, it's trouble now. Yeah, it's trouble.
That was always one of our biggest things to kids in South Florida. Hey, you know, we can give you this and this and that. Miami can't get it.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? So, again, it was just one of them old Bati boy moves.
The fuck out of here, Saban. That's what I'm going to name. As a matter of fact, that's what I'm going to name the show. Man. Fuck out of here, Saban. Saban. I'm disappointed in you, my boy. Sad shit.
I respected everything you went in and all that, man. But now you going out.
You know why we can respect it? Because we Canes fans and we know we cheated. And we like, hey, here what it is. You catch me if you do. If you don't, we going to continue doing our thing.
End of the day, one thing
we not going to do is start snitching.
Pointing fingers.
Start talking about, them over there be doing this.
Ain't never been no rats now.
And the one person who ratted got mad because nobody want to go down the tunnel with him.
And now he's sitting underneath the tunnel now.
Exactly. So I'm going to tell you the crazy thing. I tell people this all the time. They be like, you cheated. I say, listen, end of the day, it don't matter how much you cheated. They still got to go out there and play the game.
Still got to play the game. That's why Reggie Bush them. Man, you think that USC team wasn't fire? They were cheating. Hell yeah. That was a fire-ass team, though. You can tell me whatever you want to. That team was bad.
Was good.
Them boys were raw. Same thing. They say, y'all won in the Big East. Hey, bro, it doesn't matter where we was at. We was going to kick everybody ass. We just happened to be over there at the time. That's just what it was. Certain teams are just that good.
Hey, about the Big East thing, we only won one national title in the Big East. Why everybody always bringing the Big East like the Big East was we only won one national title in the Big East?
Because they're going to find something to talk about. I mean, what else they going to say?
We won four national titles before we joined the Big East.
If we had less titles in Florida State and Florida, they wouldn't even bring that up. I guarantee you.
I mean, but for them to say, for Florida and Florida State to say y'all only won because y'all was in the Big East, we beat y'all ass while we was in the Big East.
Exactly.
Yeah, it don't matter.
Exactly.
I mean, what? Joe, did we? I did. Well, yeah, but if you had to go this route, you know, if Inf was a fifth, I'd be fucked up right now. And I ain't.
And both of y'all was good. And both of y'all was good when we beat y'all. Exactly.
I mean, Florida State was running the ACC for 100 years. And how many titles they got? Less than us still. I mean, come on.
Yeah, exactly. They love them ACC ones, though. Anyway, fuck them people, man. We're getting up out of here, man. Thank y'all for tuning in for another episode of 26 Degrees. We are here every week as usual, man. Coming up on the 1-year anniversary. Tell a friend to tell a friend. Rate us. Matter of fact,
we definitely got to be more on that 1-year anniversary.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. We're gonna get that locked in. Rate us if you hate us. If you give me 5 stars and you hate us, I'll read it. Go ahead. Give me 5. You can say whatever you want to. Whatever you want to, but you gotta give me 5 stars. So give me 5 stars, I'll read that shit.
Need a shot, man.
On air. All right, man. We up out of here, man. Peace.
Peace, peace.
We're gonna let the band deal with this.
It's 26 degrees.